Christ give a praise, and Christ give a last. Okay, that's one more time. There you go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Blessed.
Well, warm welcome to everyone this morning on this beautiful new day the Lord provides for us, and Thanksgiving soon upon us, and we just pray God's blessings upon this day and upon this week, and certainly welcome each and every one of you here this morning. And just a few announcements that I need to get out of the way. Number one, this is the last Sunday of the church here. And so our focus today will be Christ the King. And that's very refreshing in light of our current times that we're living in, as it is always. But we'll be focusing on that theme. And the readings this morning, of course, go there as well. I have a flyer that looks like this. And it says, raise some dough. This is put out by Papa Murphy's on 23rd Avenue. And so what they're doing from November 18th through the 27th, if you go in to get a pizza there or whatever, and take one of these flyers, they're going to give 15% back to Trinity. So, hey, if you're going to get a pizza anyway, just well go somewhere where there's going to be some kickback to the church. And if you are interested in that, these flyers are on the center table in the entryway, and be sure to take one with you before you leave this morning. Thanksgiving service will be at 10 o'clock on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day morning. I just love that service and to start out that day that way. But if you would like to come and worship with us, that service is at 10 o'clock in the morning. And on the back of your bulletins, it says our men's Bible study is going to meet at 6 o'clock Thanksgiving morning. That's a misprint. In the body of the bulletin, it states otherwise. So we will not be meeting as a men's Bible study group on Thanksgiving morning. So please note that. And then next Sunday, being a new year in the church year, the first Sunday in Advent, the sanctuary needs to be decorated for that and for the Advent Christmas season. So Mr. Whitney kind of oversees some of that, right? And 9 o'clock this coming Saturday morning, if you would be interested in helping. And by the way, they could use some younger guys for crawling up on some of the ladders and so forth. So if we could get some younger guys to come, maybe pass the word around. And but that'll start at 9 o'clock here in the sanctuary this coming Saturday. So you may pass the word around concerning that as well. Well, we welcome each and every one of you. We ask that you would sign in on the fellowship pad, that pad of paper on the far left end of each pew in front of you, and let us know that you're worshiping with us. And for our visitors, too, if you would like us to follow up with you in any way, be sure to sign in on that and give us a way to contact you also, if you so desire. And for our visitors, we have a welcome packet that looks like this. And these are on the center table in the entryway as well. So please feel free to take one of those. Did I leave anything out, Larry? I don't think so. Well, we've gathered here to worship this morning, and the whole service will be presented on the screen. And I invite the congregation to stand for the opening song.
Thank you.
Blessed we are to be citizens of God's kingdom of grace as we look forward to his kingdom of glory that is certain to come. And it's by that same grace that we are honored and blessed to be citizens. And so we gather in the name of the one true Almighty God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God inspired the Apostle John to write these words: "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What an amazing promise God provides to us. And in light of that, let us just take a moment in silence for personal reflection. And let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We continue our worship now with the responsive reading of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength,
a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way,
though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam,
though the mountains tremble at its flowing.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God,
the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved.
God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage, the kingdom totters.
He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord.
How he has brought desolation on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth.
He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns with chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among them.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, even from the cross, you reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Forgive us our sins and remember us as you come into your kingdom, that like the repentant thief on the cross, we too may be with you in paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated now for our scripture readings. At the end of the service today, it's his birthday, so we'll sing "Happy Birthday, Pastor." Our Old Testament reading for this last Sunday of the church year comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of our Lord. Our second reading for today comes from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at the 13th verse. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This too is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I would invite the congregation to stand now as we speak and honor the Holy Gospel for today. And that Holy Gospel comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. O Lord. We begin our reading at verse 27. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated now, and I will invite our young people to come forward for today's special message for them. Well, good morning to all of you guys, and thank you for coming up this morning. This Sunday is also the last Sunday of the church year. It's also known as Christ the King Sunday. And in a few minutes, Pastor Hafman is going to be sharing with us some more about this Christ the King. But today I want to share with you a little story. It's called The Backward King, or King Backward. So, you, my young lady, friend, get to wear the crown this morning, all right? Then it's a very special crown, and you're going to play the part of King Backward. So you have to turn around. So your back is to the congregation, because you are King Backward. There you go, right? All right? Here we go. This is a wonderful story about this king. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, there lived a king. And he was no ordinary king. He was different from other kings because he did everything backwards from the way that other kings would do them. From the very day that he was born, you could tell that this king was going to be different. Most kings are usually born where? In a palace, that's right. But this king was born in a stable. And he was surrounded by horses, by donkeys, by sheep, by cows. It was a very different beginning for this particular king. In fact, very few people knew that a king had even been born. But there were a few. There were shepherds, and eventually there were three wise men who got the word that the king had been born. And so, as this infant king grew, King Backward, he continued to be different from the other kings. Most of these time, kings would spend their time building up what? their riches, their gold, their silver, their power, the jewels. King Backward owned nothing at all. And while most kings surround themselves with servants, this particular king chose to be a servant to others. He would often find himself helping others in very wonderful ways. And time went on, and guess what? The people became very unhappy with King Backward because he just didn't act the way that they thought a king should act. Now, instead of coming into town riding a wonderful big white war horse, this king entered town riding a donkey. That's right. That was rather unusual. I mean, why would a king ride a donkey? And then there were the people that this king chose as friends. They weren't the powerful dukes and princes and duchesses and all that kind of people. They were actually smelly fishermen, part of the group that he surrounded himself with. And so, as time went on, this king became hated by others. Finally, the people decided that they had put a long enough time with this king, and they decided to get rid of him because he couldn't act the way they wanted him to be. And so they made a plan, and the plan was to have him arrested and thrown into prison. And guess what? That plan for King Backward worked. And the king stood there before the people, and instead of shouting, "Hail to the king," as we hear most of the time, they yelled out, "Crucify him. Crucify him. He is not our king." And so King Backward went to the cross. And they poked him with sharp sticks, and they made fun of him. And that wasn't a very wonderful way for a king to go. And when they had finished crucifying him, they took his body down and they placed it in a tomb that had been borrowed. But the good news for us today for King Backward is that wasn't the end of the story, because King Backward had a surprise for those people. He had come back. He rose from the grave, and he lives now forever. We could call him the Forever King, but his other name was Jesus, that's right, King Jesus. And King Jesus wants us to be a part of his kingdom even to this day in very special ways. He is our king. There are still some people who call that king King Backward because they don't believe in him. They don't know him like we do. But we call him our King Jesus. And you can turn around now. And so today we're reminded of that as we hear Pastor share that good message with us today about our King Jesus. And so before that, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this day. We pray, Lord, that you would be our King too. We know you want us to be your people, and we ask that you would help us to choose you as our King, because we know that you will help us to live happily forever and forever and ever. And so, King Jesus, become King of our hearts this day in very special ways. We pray this in King Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, Amen. All right. Well, Andrea, your kingdom is over now. But after church, if you want to come, I'll give it a crown. All right. Well, I've got a handout, and I know some of you are a little older than the rest of them, but if you'd like one, be sure to come and get one. And Steve, what's our song next?
There is a Redeemer.
Okay.
Giving us your son, and me.
This Sunday is always a very special Sunday for Lindy and me and our family. As 17 years ago on this Sunday was the first Sunday that I preached at Trinity. And so we have been greatly blessed by our family here and just praise God for these 17 years shared together. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as mentioned several times already in the service, focusing on Christ the King today. And to do that, I'd like us to go to the epistle reading that we heard read a few moments ago and also be thinking about the gospel. Boy, we have a Good Friday text at the last Sunday of the church here. You may think, well, why is that? Well, I think as we've heard King mentioned several times in that reading, it becomes very clear. But I'd like to read the first two verses of the Colossians text from Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14, where we hear, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Boy, a powerful statement that God has made and preserves for the world to hear. And so the theme that I hold before you is King, even from the cross. And maybe should even emphasize King, especially from the cross. A very unlikely, and the world of darkness would see this King as a backward King. Certainly, in our journey of life on this earth and as citizens of the United States of America, we have experienced the reshuffling of power again through the recent election, haven't we? And there are some people that are very disappointed with the election. There are other people that are just elated by the outcome of this election. But you know, there's still something that hasn't been resolved, despite whoever the human person is in power, and that is the domain of darkness. And really what that darkness is a misplaced trust in man instead of in God. And I think just by the rioting and the attitudes we've seen in our nation, it's like all hope has been lost and broken by some. And others, I believe there's a misplaced hope of thinking, wow, we got our person in, and now all the problems of the world will be resolved through them. It is a misplaced trust in man and a failure to recognize and acknowledge who truly is the authority, who truly is the King. And the good news is that in the midst of all of this, we are blessed to know that Christ is King. And guess what? He has no term limits. He is King from everlasting to everlasting, and we are blessed to be citizens of His kingdom. He is always King. And what has this king done for us? But it's really powerful words this morning as God shares them. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Did you hear that term, domain of darkness? Boy, that's a powerful statement that God brings to us, and it's very definitive of the unbelieving world, of all of those who are separated from the King that we are blessed to know so well. People are walking, for the most part on this earth, in darkness. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a strange room, and or maybe you're going into the room and you can't find the light switch? Have you ever had that happen? And then you're kind of fumbling around looking for the light switch, and as you're in this dark room, you don't know where the furniture is. You don't know what is on the floor in front of you, and it can be downright dangerous because you may trip over something, and certainly you could break bones in your body simply because this room is dark. But you flip a light switch, and it changes everything, doesn't it? The very same room, but now you can see clearly where the furniture is, where things are placed on the floor, and you can just truck right across the room because there's clear direction of where you can go. It's the power of light. But with darkness, there is no clear direction. There is no understanding of the placement of things. There is no light to follow. Now think of that in a spiritual sense. You know, this morning in this text, it's so concise. This is one you may want to just pull out and this week ponder the whole week, because it is so definitive of many characteristics of our King Jesus and what God's light has revealed to us through his Son, who is the light of the world. But most people are not blessed to know these things, or they reject them. They live in darkness, not a physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. And spiritual darkness, in one sense, is denial. It's denial of everything that God is revealing to us this morning about his Son and about his character and attributes. And first and foremost, we hear that Jesus is creator. He is the creator of all things, the visible and the invisible. And being creator of all things, he not only created the universe and all of life in it, but by his promise, he sustains life. And yet, most people deny this basic truth, that there is a creator. And it has huge ramifications of darkness. Number one, a great devaluing of human life. You know, in recent times, we've heard prominent politicians, you know, saying, oh, we are so supportive of children. You know, this is our cause. And yet, out of the same corner of their mouth, they'll say, I'm very supportive of partial birth abortion. That's darkness. It's an absolute contradiction. One hand, we're supporting small children. On the other hand, we're murdering children that are in the most vulnerable state of all. But it shouldn't surprise us, because when you are in darkness, you do not see the light of God's truth. I heard a politician say that the greatest danger that we have, the greatest threat to life on earth, you know what it is? Climate change. Climate change. And I'm thinking, what an arrogant statement. Because basically in that statement is we must do something. And certainly God calls us to be stewards. But it's really renouncing the creator and the sustainer of life. Who parted the Red Sea? Talk about an impossible physical climate, atmospheric type event. Who stopped the sun and made the sun stand still? God can do these things. And he does. He is the creator and the sustainer of life. But if you're living in darkness, you're going to be stumbling in all of these issues. And boy, that's a scary place to be without a light switch. Not only denial of the Creator, but how about denial of absolute truth? And I think this one is foundational to everything. A denial that God's Word indeed is God's Word, that God's Word, the Holy Bible, indeed is infallible. It is absolute truth. It is never going to change. It is firmly in place. And yet, in the darkness of the world and culture in which we live, people would laugh at me for saying that. Because the philosophy today is whatever I determine is good for me, that works for me, and that's truth for me. And if that's evil for you, that's tough, because this is truth for me. And so we've got all of this relative truth, if you will, that is out there, and it creates all kinds of very dangerous and very destructive philosophies, and certainly creates no boundaries. Darkness, the domain of darkness, and the worst one of all is the denial of Jesus, to be the exclusive Savior of the world. We hardly have a right to say that anymore, right, in our culture? Because we're a bigot, we're narrow-minded. How dare you say that it's only through Jesus that you can be saved? But it shouldn't shock us, because we live in a culture, for the most part, that is greatly deceived and confused in darkness. Without the light, Jesus Christ is the true light. You know, just this morning, I like to check the news out before worship, and I was reading a story. The authorities in Bloomington, Indiana, they have come up with a new idea, and it's being enforced in their community, according to this article. Good Friday will no longer be acknowledged as Good Friday. Can't use the term Good Friday. They have changed it to Spring Holiday. Wow, that's enlightening, isn't it? Trying to take our King and where He established His kingdom and to deny that. But that is the world we live in. And it shouldn't shock us, because when you eliminate God's Word, when you attempt to push Jesus out of the picture, what do you have? You have darkness. But here's where we have to be really careful as Christians. It's so easy to get angry at people that are in the dark and to personally attack them. But who's the real enemy in all of this? It's Satan. It's Satan and all of the fallen angels with him. And he is the one who certainly reigns over darkness. God tells us that in His Word. In fact, a number of titles that Satan is given directly out of Scripture, and here's a few of them. Accuser. Boy, he loves to accuse us. He's our adversary. He's seeking to devour us, we hear, like a roaring lion. He's little g, God of this world, we hear in Scripture. And interesting enough, another title given to Satan is he is the ruler of darkness. The ruler of darkness. And so we know where the heart and core of this darkness lies, and the energy that is behind the darkness is Satan. And he wants nothing less than to destroy you and me. In fact, he wanted nothing less than to destroy Christ the crucified, right? Think about Jesus on his journey to the cross. And we hear one of those accounts here in the gospel reading this morning of Jesus being confronted by those who are mocking him standing below the cross. And they said these words, and it's really interesting. If you are the King of the Jews, right? If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. A great temptation, because Jesus could have. He could have said, yeah, I'm going to prove to you I'm King of the Jews, and he could have come down off the cross immediately. He had the power to do that. But Jesus persisted and persevered in the sacrifice that he came to make. But think about that temptation of Satan at the end of Jesus' journey to the cross. When we go back to the beginning, right after Jesus was baptized, remember he went out in the wilderness for those 40 days and nights? Satan tempted him a number of times, and he challenged Jesus with almost the same words. You can read it in Matthew chapter 4. If you are the Christ, you know, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Christ, then jump down from that temple. Now look at what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to destroy the king who came to establish his kingdom. And Satan knew all along exactly who Jesus is. Now that should get our attention in our journey of faith. Because if Satan would go after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and try to destroy what Jesus came to establish, do you think he might come after you and me? And he does all the time through the temptations that he brings to us. And I tell you what, in the culture in which you and I are living now, if we don't know the word well, it can be very easy for us to be lured in to the world of darkness. In fact, we would still be in that world if we had not been rescued by our Lord Jesus Christ. Rescue. You know, in the ESV, the translation that we've been using on the screen, as it was read this morning, it reads, "He has delivered us." That word "delivered" isn't strong enough for the Greek word there. The Greek literally means to be rescued, or even stronger, to be ripped away from, to be torn away from, to be snatched from. And that's the description that God gives to you and me in how he has rescued you and me from the realm of darkness. Because by our own power and strength, we could never get out of it. It should change the way that we look at people living in darkness to realize, but by the grace of God, I'd be thinking the same things. I would be promoting the same ideas. But the Lord, by his grace, has snatched me away from that. And he's done that for you also. And how does he do that? But through baptism, calling you by name. Through the power of hearing his word, through those means of grace, God has rescued us. What a turn. And not only that, but he has transferred us. So he's rescued us out of darkness, and he has transferred us into his kingdom of grace, where we now are blessed to dwell. But it all hinges upon the cross. If Jesus would have turned away from the cross, his kingdom would have been lost, and the world would have been lost with him. But did you hear it at the end of our reading? Making peace by the blood of his cross. Kind of a backward king by worldly standards, right, Larry? But not by God's plan. The king became the servant of all servants, and there he faced hell. There he took the sins of all people, including our own, and he took full accountability for them, and he paid the punishment. And that huge burden is released, and Satan is angry, because that was not Satan's will. But we know that Jesus not only died, but he rose again. And we know that he lives and that he truly is king. And you and I are blessed to be citizens of his kingdom. He's the only one who could do this. There is no other. And we are blessed to know him and to live with him. And think about that in light of life. Think about the characteristics of this king as they are revealed to us by God this morning. Number one, he is our Savior. And God spells that out very clearly, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So the barrier that stood between us and God, Jesus has taken away. We have been purchased by His blood, and we now have the forgiveness of sins. He is our Savior. Think about that. How blessed we are. And not only is He our Savior, but He's also God. You know, no one has seen God, but in Jesus we see God who has come in the flesh. And so this text clearly revealing that Jesus Christ is God. The rest of the world does not acknowledge that. Anyone outside of Christianity will never acknowledge Jesus Christ being God. But He is, by His own testimony. And He is superior. He is supreme. Even as true man, He is the firstborn, as we hear in this text. Not in chronological order, but He is the supreme one who stands equal with His Father and has the same glory and honor and power as His Father. He is the creator of all things. Think about that. And not only creator, but we hear here again that in Him all things hold together. Now think about that in light of people afraid of climate change. Now God gives us wisdom. He gives us abilities to be good stewards, and we certainly should consider those issues as we see them, but to recognize that we need to turn to Him and know that He's fully in control of the universe as He has created it. And the wonderful thing about our King is He is eternal. There's no term limits with Jesus. He's never going to be voted out of office. But He reigns today and tomorrow and forevermore. And you know what that spells for you and me? Security for eternity. Security for eternity. And so He reigns. Doesn't matter who's in office in our nation or throughout the world, He reigns. He's always in control. And He is the King of the kingdom of power. In other words, there is no authority on earth that has that authority unless the Lord has either directed it or allowed it to happen. But the Lord is absolutely in control. He is the King of the kingdom of power. He is the King of the kingdom of grace. And we are blessed to live in His grace. His love, we don't deserve it, but He chooses to love us. And He is the King of the kingdom of glory. Can you imagine one day when we step into heaven and we see the Lord with our own eyes? Maybe He's going to return first. I don't know. But if not, when we are received into glory, can you imagine seeing Jesus for the first time physically? Wow. But that's our future. But in the meantime, we have His truth. And we have the security of His kingship. But most of the world does not, because they either don't understand it or they reject it. And the question is, who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? And so it's easy to get angry with people living in the darkness. But it's important for us to again say, there I would be apart from the grace of God. And to empathize with them on that level, to see how confused they really are, and to go to them with Christ's love, with His truth. Turn the light on, if you will, in the room of the life that they are currently living, that they also may have clear direction. Jesus is King. Doesn't matter if Bloomington, Indiana says we're not going to recognize you anymore or the cross that you went to. He's King. We are blessed to know the King who is even from King from the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ our King. Amen. And with great confidence, as we are blessed to know God as he has revealed himself, we stand and make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And would you confess with me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given
Jesus Christ, the Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, the Son. And now, though weak say I am strong, let the poor say
If you are able, I invite the congregation to stand for prayer. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we certainly do give you thanks and praise for rescuing us from darkness and the eternal condemnation that goes with it, and bringing us into your kingdom of grace and the security of eternal life that we are blessed to live in now. O Lord, guide us and guard us as your precious people, living in a world of darkness, that your light may shine brightly through us, Lord, as we extend your love to others, as we share with them your truth. Lord, dear Holy Spirit, we pray that whenever we take opportunity to witness to others, that you would give us the words to speak, that you would prepare the hearts and minds of those who we have opportunity to share your good news. Oh Lord, we pray that this day many more would come to faith within the realm that we can have influence, but also, Lord, throughout this nation and throughout the world. Lord, we remember our missionaries this morning, and several of them listed in the prayer section of our bulletin that we are closely connected with in many parts of the world. Continue to bless these families, Lord, and be with them and guide them and direct them and bless many others through them. Be with our missionaries throughout the world, Lord, that your truth can be clearly proclaimed and that your truth can be lived and demonstrated, that others may come to the joy of salvation and recognize you, Jesus, as you are the King of Kings. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our nation, and in the midst of a lot of hatred that is being thrown around, and Lord, really foundational to that is insecurity, and foundational to insecurity is not knowing your absolute truth. Lord, we pray that there would be a change of heart in this nation, that there would be healing. And Lord, we pray that with the new administration that soon takes over, that they would be people that would acknowledge you, that they would seek your will, that they would recognize that the problems of this nation and world are far beyond our capabilities of resolving. Lord, we plead your intervention. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we hold up to you all of the names that are listed before us here this morning and in the bulletin. And Lord, Carl Block, not listed here, but we praise you that he was able to be in worship again with us this morning after being hospitalized. Lord, we hold up to you Buddy Blake, as Pastor Buddy is in ICU after having surgery this past Wednesday and complications from that surgery. Lord, we pray that you would oversee and protect his life in the midst of the trials he currently goes through. Lord, I hold up to you my Aunt Jalita as she is near death. But Lord, I thank you for the faith that you have instilled in her heart and her welcoming your kingdom as she looks forward to being in heaven with you. Lord, be with her and comfort her in these perhaps final days that she has upon this earth. Lord, we pray for Tanisha's little sister, Jolene, who is in Children's Hospital and has no feeling from the waist down, only 11 years old. Lord, this is a mystery to the family and perhaps to the doctors that work with her, but not to you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would intervene and give them your wisdom and counsel, that they can serve as your instruments of healing in her life. Lord, we pray that you would be with Delbert Ewald, who has flu-like symptoms, and protect him and enable him to recover from this and regain his strength once again. Lord, there are many others, I'm sure, that weigh heavy on our hearts and minds. You know each and every one of them. Lord, we pray your blessings upon them and healing. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you many words of thanksgiving and praise for Teresa Detterer receiving the blessings of another grandchild in her life. And Lord, Nicholas Derek Ross, who was born November 14th. Lord, we thank you for the miracles of life. And we thank you for this precious child that you have brought into the world. Lord, be with this family as they now have that great responsibility of raising this child. Lord, we rejoice with Dean and Joanne Rodell as they celebrate 62 years of marriage together upon this earth. And we thank you, Lord, for the love you establish between this couple and that love that has flourished and grown throughout these years. Continue to be with them, Lord, and bless them as a couple, O Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And Lord, we also hold up to you those who grieve the loss of loved ones to death. Lord, for the Jones family, close friends of Sherry Karsten, as they lost their son, Riley, suddenly. And Lord, for Teresa Detterer's aunt, who lost her daughter, Mary Jane, killed in a motorcycle accident yesterday. Lord, things can happen so suddenly that we would never anticipate happening. And you know the shock and the grief of these families. Lord, be with them and encourage them and uphold them and comfort them with that peace only you can provide. Lord, may they see ever so clearly that you are the resurrection and the life, and that whoever believes in you will live even though they die. Lord, you prove that by your own death and your own resurrection, and may this bring hope and encouragement to these families in their time of grief. O Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And Lord, we thank you for our family here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. Lord, we pray your continued blessings among us as we humbly seek your will. Lord, may your will and plan and purpose be accomplished in the midst of us as you have graciously placed us in this community. May we be a shining beacon, a shining light in the community of Greeley and the surrounding area. Continue to guide and direct our lives, Lord. We ask it in your precious name, Jesus, knowing you to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then how blessed we are to know and be able to pray together a prayer that you have written and taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, we also pray that you would be with all those who travel for this Thanksgiving holiday, and just bless the many family reunions, gathering of friends and neighbors that take place. And Lord, may your love be at the center of these gatherings. We ask all of this in your precious name. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go now in his peace. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And we have one more birthday that didn't get mentioned. Pastor Greg, 2 days ago. So,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Greg. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. God bless.
I'll have a pair of jeans. All right. Was that?
Did I think I was in the wrong place?
That's okay, so was I.